Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Oh, do we have our hands full today? A lot going on in First Midwest Bank
Studio. Are you talking
studio.
About us or the Cubs? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about us and the Cubs so far.
Okay.
Cubs are getting it. Alec Mills getting lit up in game one of this seven-inning doubleheader day at Wrigley. It's 5-1. And when pitching is now the starting pitching depth is more of an issue with doubleheaders and Chatwood being out.
You got to leave him out there.
Yeah. So there's baseball and Chuck Garfine on the White Sox. The Blackhawks are out. It was a fun little party, a fun little gathering.
Some fun while it lasted, but kind of this was their destiny, wasn't it?
It was like, how do you equate it, Waddle? You're a party guy. It wasn't like the bash that you usually throw the bash of the year. It was a nice gathering that, you know, we had some fun at. We didn't hook up really with
who you
meet
wanted
our match.
To. Yeah, well, here's the deal. You were
drank some beers and we had a good time.
You were a sophomore at a senior party, is what you were. If you're the Blackhawks, right? Like, it was fun, but you went home early because you know all of the important people were talking to each other and mingling with each other as the night wore on. So you were there. You got a little taste, so to speak, of the good stuff. You didn't get all the nice, expensive grape, but you got some of the, you know, the Boone's Farm or the $2 Chuck whiskey, whatever it was, or wine.
Boone's Farm, ugh.
I'm just saying. So, you know what? You were a sophomore at a senior party, basically, is how I would define it.
It was cool to get an invite, right?
Of course.
It was cool to check it all out.
You didn't expect to get an invite, and early when the invites went out, your name wasn't on the list, but something happened, and they had to amend the invite list. So then you got invited. You stuck around a little longer than probably you initially anticipated. But at the end of the day, it was an upperclassman party, and they're there, and you went home.
I think Abdallah can relate to that.
Probably
being
so.
Being a guy who probably shouldn't be at a party, but somehow, some way, got an invite.
Yeah.
But still is probably on the outside looking.
You know how I got the invite. Come on.
The wee.
He's a wee guy.
I have wares for sale, gentlemen.
Yeah. But that's what it was like. It was like, you know, we've been through this so much and through.
I got
10...
smokes. I got beer.
Yeah,
hey, that's sophomore. Hey, that's sophomore Abdallah. He brought smokes and beer. Should we let him in?
However you could get in, whatever. You wear the jean jacket and you bring the smokes and beer.
That's right.
Cool. But, and the Hawks weren't supposed to be there, and they beat Edmonton. And it was fun. It was like nice. It was all of a sudden when we were starving and we were thirsty for some sports. But the stuff that's coming up now for this team is way more important than anything that they handled inside that bubble.
How are you going to get better on the defensive end? What are you going to do in goalie at your goaltender spot? I mean, you've got some real questions to answer at this point.
Who's your president? Who's your general manager? Who's your coach? Do you try to build around the core still? Can you do it in cap hell? You know, I there is sort of like right in this middle point, and it's what we talked about in March. Before all this, when we thought for sure that Stan was probably going to be out, but there's been some stuff now where they've given him an endorsement. And I just don't know where you get back to the party as the main man on campus.
Well, I have an amateur eye, but all of the things that you had at the front of your brain, concerns that may have gone to the wayside a little bit as you got giggly about getting past Edmonton, were back in focus, weren't they? Like, you really like Corey Crawford, but there's nobody in front of him to take pressure off of him.
And he's a free agent.
And he's a free agent.
And you don't have cap room.
Right. I mean, do you have enough? Look, again, if you watch the Golden Knights play and then you put them up against the Hawks, like, you'll take Kane and Taves and Crawford maybe over their top three guys. But outside of that, like, they're skating four, you know, four lines deep. So they're just a different team than you are.
Right, right. So that's why I think this is really tricky. Like, I was just, and I want Hawks fans to weigh in, 312-332-3776. It was a delay. Look, we're sitting out in August. We've never had that before. You know, whether you got a TV set up outside, you're in your garage, wherever you are in your basement that you watch Hawks games, you know, the sun's out late, we got beer, we've got hockey, we got a series win that we were never anticipating. And it was fun while it lasted. Yeah. But deep down inside, we knew that the Hawks weren't going to go on like this miraculous run. But it was hockey, so we'd be there.
You had an 11 o'clock curfew. You had to be home early.
Yeah, yeah. And we were going to watch, and we'd have a blast. But now what? And and my question coming out of this for Hawks fans is...
Mitch or Nick? Oh, yeah, no, wait, my bad.
No, that's there for us, oh, too, with all Chicago. And you can weigh in on that as well. And I think we got a hint today. I think we got a good hint.
Oh, you did a little detective work, did you?
I think so, yeah. And I think, you know, we've heard stuff anyway about
I'm already so tired of the conversation. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
How could you be?
I'm exhausted from it.
Yesterday, because you were arguing too much with
That's not
with,
true.
You went into the mud yesterday. You Very started wrestling briefly. With a pig.
But it's just, you know what?
And I'm not calling Braggs a pig.
We're
either.
4 years into this, and you can continue. If you want to defend at all costs, you can talk yourself into a circle here. I don't even care anymore. My motto today is my motto from yesterday. Whoever it is under center, just be average. That's where I'm setting the bar. Like, I don't care if it's 10 or it's, what number is Foles? 6? Whoever it is, I don't even care anymore.
Six.
Don't care. Don't care. Speaking of 6, don't care.
9. I believe he's 9.
Well, I had.
Can we do a number check on a Nick Foles?
But in the mode of number 6, don't care. I don't even care
who
the hell
it
is.
On us.
I don't care. Just want someone to be better. Just be better than what they were last year.
We took a sharp right turn right there from our Hawks conversation.
Okay.
But whatever you want to weigh in, 332-3776. But here was my question for Hawks fans. This is simple. I was thinking about this watching that third period, and I didn't know how I did it, Waddle, but I stayed up. I stayed up for the whole thing. I was about to shut that game off when they scored that goal to go up 2, but then it was goaltender interference.
Yeah.
So then it stayed a one goal game, and the Hawks had a chance in those final few seconds. Mounted a rush, and they couldn't put it in, and it was over. So my main question is, after being invited to the party as a sophomore, are better days ahead?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, was this 9-game run the start of something good, or was it just a big giant tease? And if you're a Hawks fan where Crawford isn't signed, where you don't love your coach, where you don't know if Stan's going to be back or not, and quite frankly, you don't want him to be back, you don't even know who the president of the organization is. The cap isn't going anywhere. What do you do with Kane and Taves? DeBrincat's contract is going up. How do you find guys where you're drafting? How can you make this team better than they were this year with all of those issues? And how can you paint me a picture that, yes, better days are ahead? Or is this going to be a slow fizzle from 15 as we continue through the end of sort of a run in this core?
To build on the analogy here, the school analogy, are you going to be a junior next year? And what you got was just a taste of better days to come, and you're going to be part of that in crew. Or did your dad just get a new job and you're packing all your stuff up and you're moving to another town and you got to start over again?
Those were the worst, right? I was fortunate I never had to do that.
I always
hated that.
I always felt bad for that person that was coming in as a junior after you'd established your friend group and that person was trying to fit in somewhere.
Or when you got the news that one of your buddies was moving.
Yeah.
You know, and he may have moved only 2 towns over, but it felt like, because you were 10, like it might as well have been 500 miles away.
That's right.
But that's what I, like, that's, it's tough for me to look at the Blackhawks and really draw you up a roadmap on how they're really going to be a contender, on how they're going to be great.
Well, you're
going
to have to tell me, based on their financial constrictions and restrictions with where they're at the cap, not cap, you know, and Jay Hood from 7 to 10 every morning, but their cap, their salary cap, how are you going to get from where they are now?
Well,
you know, to the next point.
Well, listen, as Puck Dalla enters the chat here, Carmen DeFalco, and I'm not going to pretend to know anything about other teams besides the Blackhawks because I'm laser focused on the Blackhawks as Puck Dalla usually is. He compared it to the Canucks, to Vancouver. They were great. They were really good. Had all those battles with the Blackhawks. Then guess what? They got rid of people and they sucked for a while. And you got all this young talent and now it's starting to come to fruition and they're good again. You can't just keep with the salary cap the way it is. It's hard to build around two stars that are taking up and a few stars that are taking up a bunch of your cap.
Right.
You have to decide, what are you going to do? Either
can you keep one?
Well, are you going to keep one? Are you going to keep two? What you need to decide what you're going to do, because you either need to blank or get off the pot. Because
it's not just them, Abdallah. Like Seabrook, that's an albatross of a deal.
Yes,
Keith is up in age, and yes, he can continue to play, and he plays major minutes. He's signed for a lot.
So you have to decide, what are you going to do? Either you're going to try to piecemeal this team together every year and get as much as you can out of Kane and Taves for the next few years and then try to move on from them when they get too old, but then what are you going to get from them at that point? Are they just going to be Blackhawks for life? Or you're going to move one of them and try to be bad again or be as bad as you can be again and try to rebuild again.
Here's why I don't have faith in Stan Bowman, and I don't know if he's staying or going. I would have bet you any amount of money 3 months ago that he was going. But what scared me is what Danny Wirtz said on that podcast about a month ago on NBC Sports Chicago. And it made it sound like he's coming back. But through these years from after 15 till now, when you look at who the Hawks have gotten rid of and who the Hawks have acquired, they have gotten rid of far better players than they have acquired, whether it's them letting go of Jalmerson, whether it's them letting go of the Breadman, whether it's them letting go of Q and bringing in the coach they have now. Like, I think they've downgraded in nearly every position that they've tried to shift some things in.
As we always say, it's okay to move away from certain players or coaches or whoever it is that you've had success with. But you better replace them with people who are competent. Because if you take people away that were doing good things for you, and at the very least, you don't bring somebody in. Like, people will forget about some of the subtractions if the additions make you forget about them. But as you're saying, there have been no additions that make you think about the subtraction.
So you have Tavo, and then you get rid of him. You get Panarin, and then you get rid of him. You have one of the best coaches of all time, and you get rid of him. You don't have back-end help, and you get rid of Jalmerson. You know what I mean? Like Letty of years ago. And I don't have any faith in the general manager. I don't have any faith in the coach. The core is old. The salary cap is full, and I think it was a nice little respite, 9 days of watching games. But I can't tell you today, in my role as just an average Hawks fan, that better days are ahead.
Well, don't overvalue what you saw against the Oilers. Like, it was fun, but you never should have been there in a normal season anyway. So don't overvalue what you saw with them getting past Edmonton.
So we want to hear from you. What did you make of what you saw these 9 games? Do you believe this will fuel some of the younger players to be better? Kirby Dach is a guy that you look at and you say, those 9 games, Kirby Dach is going to be a stud when he learns how to when he puts the puck on net. He'll improve there. He's so young. He's so good. He's got the instincts. And there are some bright spots. But I just don't have faith that where they are currently, that better days are ahead. Also, the Bears conversation. Waddle, after one day, is almost exhausted about the Bears conversation with the quarterbacks. To me, it fueled me. I'm like, wow, that was great. I want to see where this Bears competition goes. And I believe today that we got a major hint from an important member of the coaching staff as to who's going to start game one opening day for the Bears. We'll get to all that. Your calls, 332-3776, coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen. and gentlemen.
Let me welcome in the ladies and gentlemen watching, listening on Twitch, interacting as well. You can watch us on twitch.tv, download the Twitch app, follow us on ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by JT's Porch and Lombard and Miller Lite. Another great way to consume ESPN 1000 and your buddies, Waddle and Sylvie.
I agree.
I'll get to the Bears stuff here in a second, but I did. I just tweeted, and it's very open-ended, and Barstool Chief, who follows the Blackhawks, commented on it that he needs more clarification. I just simply polled the question, brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, are better days ahead for the Blackhawks? That's all I did. Simple as that. You define what that means. Is that over the next year? Is that over the next 3 years? Is that with Colleton? Is that with current management with Bowman? I voted no. I don't believe better days are ahead.
I just voted no, too. There's 440 votes currently, and the yeses have a 54% to 46% lead. Like, as you laid it out, I mean, there has been no real... There's been no change that leads you to believe that it will improve, because the people that you feel are responsible for the mediocrity are still in place.
Do you know who your goaltender is next year?
No. The answer
is no. He's a free agent. Yeah. Do you know who your coach is next year?
Well, right now it's
Or do you have confidence in him?
Not really.
What about your general manager?
Not so much.
I can't vote yes for the question.
That's why I voted no. Like, I didn't like pound on my keyboard and go, no.
Well,
I touched it lightly.
So if someone's responding, questioning your question, isn't that person just living in the moment, the fact that this team made the playoffs and that they're just happy with it?
That's why I said, Chris, don't overvalue what you saw against Edmonton, because you weren't getting in. Like, what you got, that was a mirage. You've been wandering in the desert, you're thirsty, and then all of a sudden you saw, whoa, there's a nice spring fountain there with drinking water, and I'm going to take a sip, and then it disappears.
Like, what's the larger picture here? 3 years ago, they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
They went 2 years consecutively where they missed, right?
Right.
And then this year, they were supposed to miss the playoffs, but they got in because of the pandemic.
Well, number 24. Right. We're 24. So we're 24.
To Sylvie's point, like, what is this team? This isn't a playoff team. They haven't been for the last three seasons.
They're number 24.
That's why I enjoyed it. I just enjoyed it for what it was. And with sports on my television all day long now, starting with NBA and NHL. Oh,
my
and
nipples
baseball.
Are so hard. My sports nipples are so hard right now. Can I say that?
You have separate sports nipples?
You already said it.
I'm just saying, like, it's
do
it's
they
like
shave
it's
as much as your regular nipples?
Yeah.
Oh, they
I don't really get I don't chafe because I wear really soft t-shirts. Just saying, like I told you before, I got rid of those sandpaper t-shirts. I don't have a single one in my drawers. I don't have a single one of them in my drawers. Because I mean, look, I don't like to penalize myself for wearing a shirt. Like, if my shirt isn't soft and doesn't wrap itself around me and caress me, that shirt's going into a bag, and that bag is being shipped out somewhere.
You know what I've noticed, too? Not only T-shirts in the last 10 years with the softness.
Underwear?
I have noticed, no. Well, underwear has been happening for a long time. I have noticed there's been a huge evolution in the Band-Aid world. That now the Band-Aids mold more towards your skin.
Sure.
And, like, I have some blisters on my heels, and my wife got me some blisters, and they feel like they're part of your skin now.
Your wife bought you some blisters?
No, Band-Aids for my
blisters. Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, wow, what a sweetheart.
No.
Like, here's, honey, this is what I want. I know you're going through chemo and everything else, but I brought you some blisters for your feet.
No, she bought me some Band-Aids for my blisters.
Good.
Wow. Well, my feet, maybe chemo dries out all your skin. And then so I'm still running. I'm still working out. And then I'm getting chafed because of that. And then so I've had these blisters. And then I've, like, you know, the old school Band-Aids that just fall off in the shower or whatever. There's this new material that's great.
And I agree with you, but the fact that, you know, you're going through chemo, your body, you know, you're taxing your body, you're running, and you're getting blisters. Like, dude, you're winning the Ironman contest right now.
I don't know about that.
Well, I think you are. I think you are.
The more you test your body, the better it is to fight. I think the better you treat your body overall, mind and body. That's one thing I've learned on this is the mind. But thank you. All right. So here was John DeFilippo today at Bears camp. So he is now the quarterback's coach for the Bears. When he was on the Eagles staff and he was a head coaching candidate, remember, he was a finalist for the Bears job with Nagy. He was also their quarterback's coach. He didn't get a head coaching job that year, but he got the offensive coordinator's gig with Minnesota. He was fired after a year. He was hired in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator there, fired after a year. And so now when the Bears retooled their coaching staff, they made him their quarterback's coach because that's where DeFilippo does his best work. So he's reunited again with Nick Foles. And remember, they won a Super Bowl, like I said, together in Philly. So he definitely is a horse in the race here. And, Chris, you told me the question is included here, or do I have to – I know you told me, but I've already forgotten.
No, all good. He was asked this question. The question is, why is Nick Foles a good read option quarterback? Here's DeFilippo.
I equate it to, honestly, Nick's skills on a basketball court. Nick would be a tremendous point guard. He processes information fast in a quick time. He's got tremendous hands. What I mean by hands, he's got tremendous hand quickness. He processes information and processes what he sees at an unbelievable speed. And I think all those things equate to, people just equate zone reads all the time to being guys that are, 4-5 and 4-4. And that's not always the case. From a 30,000 foot level zone read, what's the main reason why you're running a zone read? Well, one of them is so you're not blocking, have to block all 11 guys. That's a major reason for a zone read as well. So it's not just for the quarterback to run the football. So you don't have to block another defender. So I think when you have those skills that Nick has in terms of hands, processing, seeing the rep, all those things, it equates to being a good player in the zone read game.
That's your quarterback.
It's trust. Like, listen, I don't want to get into this fight with Braggs or anybody else. If you got a horse in this race, fine. I don't have a horse in this race. My criticism has been my criticism all along. I hope he gets better at it. I just don't know that they trust him. I don't know that they trust it. Like, you just mentioned that. I think you go back to yesterday's comment from Coach Nagy as well. When they asked, I think it was JD, and JD was on with Greeny a little bit ago for a brief hit. And when you ask Matt Nagy, well, can you see a definitive improvement from Mitch now? I know it's early, but from last year, when he was at his worst. And Matt said, I really don't think you can say that. We haven't had enough time. I think that gives you some insight that they're not sold. Like, if there was definitive, Matt Nagy, I think in a lot of ways wears his emotions on his sleeve with regard to how he feels about certain things. If Matt was really juiced about what he's seen in terms of improvement from Mitch, don't you think he would have given you a more definitive answer that, yes, Mitch has made the progress, still time to go, and there's more progress to be made. But to this point, we do see tangible, really strong tangible evidence that Mitch has improved from last year.
Yes, I feel like Nagy knows his coaching future is tied to the success of the quarterback.
Who do you trust?
And if he gets burnt again by Mitch, he's going to look himself in the mirror and say, you knew it. You knew it, and you tried to give him another chance. And I think DeFilippo, a guy who's won a Super Bowl because of Nick Foles, told you the answer there. What do you want your quarterback to be? You want
point
your
guard.
Quarterback to be a point guard who processes decisions quickly, what he said. What does Mitch struggle at? What is his worst attribute?
He doesn't process things quickly enough. And then when he does go through the processing process, his fundamentals, his feet, they break down. His footwork breaks down because it feels like it's too much.
His accuracy, right. Yeah.
Everything breaks down.
I think he told you there, I think that's the best clue. Like, we've had all these national guys who are on the outside looking in thinking, well, it's going to be Mitch because Mitch is the incumbent. But again, the trust of this coaching staff, they trust Foles to begin with more because they have more that they've achieved with Foles than Trubisky.
The only thing I would say is this is unlike any other experience that any of these players or coaches have gone through. So, like in a normal situation, I would tell you I'm with you 100%. I have no idea. Like at this point, you could tell me something and I'd be okay. This is the COVID factor. But I tend to agree with you. Listen, it's the way I felt from the moment they acquired Nick Foles and the people that are coaching Nick Foles. I'm with you. I think that a lot of this has to do with trust. And think about it. I think you laid it out perfectly there. Matt needs a resurgence. So does DeFilippo. I mean, you listed the places he's been and where what has gone wrong, right?
Yes.
So everyone here needs something positive to happen. So if you are feeling the heat a little bit from inside yourself and inside your own football bubble, I think that there's a tendency to go with what you're most comfortable with or what you trust most.
I want to pick up Dalla and Black's brain, too. I believe they gave you the best insight on how they're feeling. They want a point guard. They want a guy who processes and makes the decision quickly. And that is obviously Foles. I believe the only way Trubisky wins this job is if he balls out in these practices. That every single day he goes out there and he looks like a new quarterback, like Cordero Patterson was saying.
And he forces your coach to say yes definitively. He's significantly better now than he was last year.
Oh, boy, we can't ignore this. That this is the skill and the athleticism that intrigued us to begin with, and maybe now the light bulb is finally going on. But I think if it's anywhere near close, anywhere, I think this job is going to Nick Foles. 312-332-3776. Do you believe are better days ahead for the Blackhawks? What do you think about the Bears quarterback coaching situation? And I've got a question for you guys, too, about going back to prime form in Bears camp. There's a lot to get after. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
You got something for me? I was told you had something for me.
Listen, I'm told we've got to let the music play for 8 seconds. Did you have your stopwatch out?
Yes. There was. I know 8 seconds. Anyone knows 8 seconds, it's me.
Waddle's got his mind on other things that we have to get to later.
Well, what does he have his mind on?
Well, he's got a handful of Xannies, and he's getting ready for his MRI
tomorrow. That's tomorrow, Waddle?
Yeah. I'm not worried about that. I was watching the baseball game.
You guys want to do this again? Want to try it again?
Yeah, let's try this again. I want somebody to count. I want somebody to count the 8 seconds because the 8 seconds last longer than you think.
Well, I know, but Black. Black, later, can you bring that back? Sure. And I am willing to bet you that was double-digit seconds.
Well, it's either 8 seconds or until you get a nice beat drop. If you get a
beat drop.
All right, here we go.
Let's start this segment again. This is what they call a breakfast ball right here. We're going to do this one again. This is our mulligan.
This is a lunch ball.
Remember, guys. Remember what Trubisky told us yesterday.
Being average is not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
We'll take it. Mitch, we'll take average.
Being average is not acceptable around here.
Timeout. Like the Bears, we'll take average.
Wow.
All right. Take two. Here we go.
All right, Buck Showalter. And the ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite is back, and it's virtual and exclusive on August 27th. The only way to enter is to go to one of the 10 participating locations and get the text to win code. Now through August 23rd, go to JT's Porch in Lombard to find your text to win code. Get the code, stay for JT's famous wings and char-grilled burgers accompanied by a Miller Lite or two. That's JT's Porch in Lombard. Please drink responsibly. Go to ESPNFFC.com for more detail.
That just sounds like a cool place, doesn't it? JT's Porch.
Where were you at last night, sir?
Anytime you say char-grilled burger, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm
there. And I heard about the wings. So you're sitting out there in a rocking chair on JT's porch. Got a nice cold.
Do they have rocking chairs, or are you just thinking because
it's
called JT's
porch? That's a great
idea
for a bar. If you called it JT's porch and all the chairs were rocking chairs?
Right. Yes.
That's now, awesome.
It gets a little messy to eat.
Guys would be flipping over the back of them after a few too many. You're talking about dangerous.
Well, yeah, that's where dinner and a show.
So like, there's one area where you have like festival seating or, you know, like,
yeah,
like theater seating. So you can watch those that get drunk in the rocking chairs absolutely destroy themselves.
And they easily
people
fall asleep
watching
easily.
People.
Yeah. Yeah.
People watching people.
It's like Benihana, where dinner is the show.
I don't think you can get into one of those now, right? I mean, do they have them?
Probably not. I don't think the communal eating experience.
One per table.
Yeah, you get one family per table. Okay.
I was going to say, like, you can't do a whole communal experience.
No.
Where you're surrounded by a bunch of people having to talk to them.
They could still, you know, shoot the shrimp in your mouth if they want.
Yeah, the train. I love the train, the steam engine through the onions.
The what?
The train.
You've never seen the train?
I thought you were going to be more perplexed by him saying throwing shrimp in his mouth. I thought that's what you were going to get.
The train.
Not the train. The steam engine.
Being excited for the train is
The steam goes through the onions, and then the guy makes the sound with the spatula. Ding, ding, ding,
that's
ding,
when
ding,
I leave.
Yeah, Waddle's
that's
going when I to leave. The bullpen
yeah,
over there.
That's
he's,
right.
He's
I'm done. Not. Like, listen, you guys want to stay around for the train? I'm gone. I'm out.
Nick and Lyons, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Nicholas?
Hey, how you doing, man? I have a quick question.
Sure.
I really believe Nick Foles was brought here to take over. But say if Mitch really impresses in those practices and he starts, how short is that leash? And as far as that goes, how much of like the coaches and upper management egos are involved, you know, as far as that decision is made?
I think, Nick, honestly, I think that the egos involved, I think there's a difference. I think you can differentiate between the guy who traded up to draft him second overall and passed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and the coach that came the year later and is trying to get the most out of a guy that he would not have consented to drafting had he been here a year before. So I think that, you know what I mean? So I think that, like, the coach is coming from a different perspective than the GM. I think the GM has more skin in the game than the coach on that front. In terms of, I don't think there will be a ton of, if Mitch is the guy that is under center to start the season, I don't think there will be a ton I don't think he'll be given a lot of opportunity to make mistakes.
You're thinking that leash is going to be incredibly short.
Yeah, I think the leash will be very short, I would think.
That's why I don't think they start with that leash. That's why I think they let the big dog go. I mean, you know, at least he's the biggest dog on our porch. You're talking about JT's porch. Like, that's the Super Bowl guy. That's the guy who's done a 27-2 season.
I'm with you. I've been
I just think they don't want to be burned. Now, the one thing that Nick brought up, Waddle, hasn't Pace hedged his bet as far as, like, which corner he's in? By now cutting Mitch's tenure short, by not picking up the fifth-year option, and giving up another future fourth-round pick, he has hedged his bet as far as which corner he's in.
He has, but he will always be more remembered for moving up to draft Mitch over the two guys I mentioned, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, versus the guy that, oh my goodness, look at him. He was willing to part company with his own ego. He recognized his own mistake and was able to rectify that mistake sooner than most would. What's behind door number one is one that is more important to his psyche, I would imagine.
Mark in Dublin, Ohio, wants to talk some Hawks. Hey, Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys.
Mark.
Great to talk to you.
Thank
Sylvie,
you.
Love you, man. Sylvie Strong.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I like you too, Waddle.
Thanks, buddy.
So, I don't know. I think the Hawks got a chance to have a really good team. They're one of the youngest teams in the NHL right now. They got unbelievable experience over the past, whatever, 2-3 weeks in a playoff atmosphere. Those young guys are just going to continue to get better. I think if they can find a way to keep Crow, they've got a real shot at making some noise in the playoffs next year. What do you guys think?
So you think all they need to do is re-sign Crow and they're back in the mix?
Well, I think they got to get a little tougher. I am not a fan of Scotty Bowman's, the way he plays the game, but it, you know, it worked for three Stanley Cups. So, you know, I know the rest of the league has caught up with him a lot, but I mean, I do. I think that if they got a few more guys who could be a little bit of an enforcer, maybe, that, yeah, I think they'd have a shot.
I listen, it's not just making a decision on Corey Crawford. It's cleaning up the mess in front of him as well.
Yeah. We've been talking about that for how many years now? Three years? As far as the defense. I don't see it. I don't see next year, and Eddie was on earlier today, I believe, with Carmen and Yurko. And he was talking about, like, the division itself is just really tough.
Mm-hmm.
That Colorado's really good. You know, they're not going anywhere, he was saying. St. Louis is in the division. Winnipeg is in the division. There are really good teams within the division that you have to be, let alone wondering on where you are in the grand scheme of the entire
NHL.
Listen,
my eyes were really opened by what I saw in terms of, like, the Golden Knights dominated the possession of that puck throughout the course of the series. I mean, like, they were more active, disrupting things. They were better at connecting passes. If not for Corey Crawford stopping, you know, an ungodly number of shots, you know, the series wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. You could just tell, even with an untrained eye, how much better overall a better team the Golden Knights were than our Blackhawks.
All right, and the poll is pretty even right now. Our better days ahead for the Blackhawks, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. 53.6% are with Mark, who just called, saying, yes, better days are ahead. And again, it is open-ended for you to interpret it. And 46.4% say no. This team pretty much is stuck, and they have major decisions to make, not only with their coach and management, but with their roster itself. I want to continue the Bears conversation. Another article came out nationally saying not only are the Bears not going to be good, but that they're going to be bad. We'll see if you guys agree. We'll discuss that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at thehomeloanexpert.com. Mortgage interest rates are in the twos. And if you're buying a home, let your realtor know you can close in 30 days or less at thehomeloanexpert.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where's he at? Let's go!
I'm at JT's porch.
Let's go!
I'm hanging on the porch.
Let's go!
In my rocking chair.
Let's go!
Drinking a Miller Lite.
By the way, did you see Tom Brady chucking the pill today? Mike Evans met the media and he said, I've only had two practices with him, but he's the best teammate I've ever had.
Yeah. You can't avoid Brady. And I do like the storyline, but if you tune into ESPN at all, you're going to get Brady. I mean, I think that is a very intriguing storyline. I can't wait to play them. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun to see how he does. And
really? Can you wait? I mean, if they're bringing... I take that back, because what I'm interested in seeing is our front seven up against that offense.
Yeah.
Because I think, as I've said a bunch, I think that Bears front seven is going to make some people soil themselves early in the season.
I hope so.
I mean, they're going to... Again, if you can just give me 350 yards and 20, almost 23 points per game on offense, please, this team's going to win a ton of games.
Yeah, it's really, you just look for average on that other side and say, and think about what the possibilities can be.
I'm
now
not buying all this hate coming from the national.
All right, now, and I want to, and I've been teasing that Black and Abdallah are going to weigh in too on the quarterback situation. I do want to give you this.
Speaking of hate,
USA Today is out with their latest, and I think this is the same guy who made the Bears look really bad early. And I think this is his 2.0, Nate Davis, I believe is his name. And
Nate Davis.
He predicted all the records for all the NFL teams. And first of all, he thinks the NFC North sucks.
Yeah.
Because he is the winner coming out of the North at 9-7. The Packers went 13-3 last year, and he believes the best record in the North will be the Packers at 9-7. He has the Vikings at 8-8. He has the Lions at 7-9. And he is the worst team in the division at 5-11.
Get out of here. By the way, I am expecting the Packers to take a step back and regress a touch as well. Remember how all of things, and even when we would have Wilde on, Jason Wilde would say, the ball bounced in their direction quite a bit last season. I don't think that. Don't you remember we always would talk to each other and go, I don't know how the hell the Packers are. You know, they're 10-3.
Katie made fun of me for bringing that up a few weeks ago.
Well, I don't believe that the Packers were a 13-3 team. They were what their record said, but I'm not going to be shocked at all. By the way, what's their total in Vegas? Because if it's 11, I'm pounding the under. Because I'm not saying they're 9-7.
I think it's like 9.5 or 10. It's low. Like, that was one of the reasons I brought that up in the argument with JD. Like, everyone was making me sound like I was cap and being a homer by saying that the Packers were a fluky team.
Yeah.
And I don't expect them to be 13-win good.
You can make a great argument for them still being the best team in the division, for sure. But a 13-win team? Put the tape on. I didn't see it.
I'm seeing 9 for the Packers.
I get you 8.5.
Wow. Like, I don't want that. Like, I mean, I think they can win 9 games for sure.
The Packers are at 8.5, Abdallah?
Yeah.
Wow. I bet the over there.
Where are the Bears at 8?
7.5. I had him check today, ironically enough, but you got to, what are they? They're minus 130, right?
Yeah.
So you're paying a ton for it.
So the Packers at 8.5.
I would parlay that.
I don't know if the two can parlay.
Can you parlay overs?
I don't know. I got to ask Bet Rivers.
Because I'd play the over on both of them.
You would,
yeah. I've predicted the Bears will be 8-8 this year. So, like, I could see 9-7. I could see 8-8. I could see 7-9. That would be that 2-game swing for me.
I don't. Yeah, we've been saying this since all these records have come out. I don't see them being 4-12, 5-11 bad.
I don't either. I'm with you.
I just Black. What do you think?
I don't see how that's possible. Even if the quarterback position's a disaster, the defense is good enough to keep you in every game, which I think usually throughout an NFL season, that gets you at least to 6 or 7 wins. So, like, I think if we had to lay out all the possibilities of what could take place this season, I think the 3, 4, 5 wins is completely out of the realm of possibility.
You're a 5-11 team if your defense isn't a top 10 defense. Now, if I said to you, where do you expect the defense to be this year? In 2018, they were all worldly. 2019, they were very good, but they didn't produce the huge plays that they did the year before. There was a bit of a regression, as we all predicted. And they were still top 5, maybe top 3 in scoring. I think in 2018, they gave up, 17.5 points per game, and last year, 18.5 points per game? Something, there was like a point difference. So if I said to you, Sylvie, where do you think this defense will finish next year?
Right in between those two. I don't think they'll be better than last year. I don't think they'll be as good as 18. I still have questions. Like,
that's
we
a
found
top
out,
5 defense then.
Right. We found out today that Jalen Johnson had that offseason shoulder surgery. We knew that. But he's still being limited by the shoulder surgery. So they don't know who their second corner is going to be. They still don't know who their second safety is going to be, and will he be as good as what they had a couple of years ago?
Very good, important questions, but when your front 7 is putting a heat on people, maybe that will give them a little breathing room in terms of finding these guys to get out there and letting them get adjusted at their pace. But if you say they're a top 5 defense, which I believe as well, I find it hard to believe that you would only be a 5-win team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think disaster is upon us. Anybody who tweets me about Lawrence, I roll my eyes about.
Yeah, that's because not happening.
I see them winning the Super Bowl before I see them having the first pick in the draft. Is that crazy?
No, I could buy that.
The only way that happens is if they somehow don't have a season, they put all the teams into a lottery and they rig it to make Chicago make up for the Trubisky pick, and they like they would for the NBA, and they rig it, and the Bears get the number one or number two pick and can take Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
It's the 100-year rig.
Yes.
They say, for 100 years, they haven't had a quarterback except for Sid Luckman, and we're finally going to give the Bears...
We're
going to
pace-proof this draft.
I wouldn't rely on that. I wouldn't rely on that.
No, neither would I, no.
I think that, yeah, that's why I don't think... Like, all of the people predicting... that this is going to be a disaster of a season. I'm with you guys. I don't think the defense will allow that. Again, I think that the offense is going to be limited until I am proven differently. Look, to go from 29th in most statistical categories, if you improve, getting all the way up to 16th, which is where I want them to be, is quite an improvement.
Yeah, and like I would also throw out there that, and that's why the like eight number for win total is kind of perfect, because even if you say the offense is going to be improved, whoever wins the quarterback
their
battle,
their offense will be improved from what it was last year. I don't care what anybody tells me, it'll be somewhat better,
but I still don't see them winning 13, 14, or 15 games.
No,
see what I'm saying? Like, so even if they are improved, Sylvie, I think at most you're maybe 10, 11 wins, which is still great.
Well,
because you're a playoff team.
Factor in this as well. Last year they were 8-8 with a defense that was top five. Again, as I said ad nauseum, look at some of the teams they beat, the quarterbacks they beat. Like, they were fortunate. They looked more like a 6-10 team did last year than they did an 8-8 team because of some of the competition. They played to some guy named Sean Mannion, I believe.
Didn't they miss Stafford twice?
They missed Stafford twice. Yes,
right. The Bears own Detroit, yeah. Isn't that where Mitch has his best games?
Yes.
All right, 312-332-3776. Later in the show, too, I want to get to all this Jimmy Graham love because he's getting a lot of love. But is this the most important week for the White Sox in the last several years? We'll ask Chuck Garfine that question coming up in 2 minutes.